بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى، وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه، قال: باب قول الله تعالى: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. الله سبحانه وتعالى through his infinite mercy and grace and kindness has granted us this invaluable opportunity of participating in this auspicious gathering, wherein the Sahih al-Bukhari of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is being completed. Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great muhaddith, he was sat in the company of Ma'mun al-Rashid, the Khalifa, when Ma'mun asked Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala a question. He said, O Yahya, man a'azzun nas, who is the most honorable from amongst the people? Yahya ibn Aktham rahimahullah ta'ala was a great muhaddis, a very pious personality. He thought for a moment and he said, O Amir al-Mu'minin, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Anta a'azzun nas, you are the most honorable from amongst the people. And the reason for this answer was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Ma'mun al-Rashid the opportunity to look after all the affairs of the Muslims. He was supervising all the masajid, all the madaris, supporting the ulama, and looking after all the affairs of each and every Muslim. So the opportunity of acquiring reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you, He has not granted to anybody else at this precise moment. So He said, O Amirul Mu'minin, my opinion is that Anta Azzun Nas, you are the most honorable from amongst the people. So Mamun al-Rashid said, your answer is incorrect. The most honorable from amongst the people is that Muhaddis, is the teacher of Hadith, who sits in the corner of a masjid or a corner of a madrasa or a classroom with a handful of students. And he says, Haddasana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is the most honorable from amongst the people. So Yahya ibn Aqsam rahimahullah ta'ala said, O Amirul Mu'minin, you are Amirul Mu'minin. You are looking after the affairs of all the Muslims, all the masjid are running under you, all the masajid, all the madaris. The ulama are also serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under you. Rich, poor, everybody is being taken care of by you. And you belong to the family of the uncle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And you are saying that that unknown person, that unknown teacher, insignificant person in the eyes of the people, who is sitting with four students, five students in a remote locality, remote place, remote venue, and he is teaching them hadith, he is more honorable from, he is the most honorable from amongst the people. So Mamun al-Rashid said, Naam wailak, yes, woe to you. This is the correct answer. لِأَنَّ إِسْمَهُ مُقْتَرِنٌ بِإِسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because the name of this teacher and muhaddis is connected to the name of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sanad. These daughters of ours who are graduating today, they have connected their name to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this name will remain in the chain of narration until the day of Qiyamah. Nobody can remove their name from this chain of narration. لِأَنَّ إِسْمَهُ مُقْتَرِنٌ بِإِسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because his name is connected to the name of Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. نَحْنُ نَمُوتُ وَنَفْنَا. We will all die and we will all perish. People will forget our name. People will forget us. فَلَا يَمُوتُ أَبَدًا. This person who is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the chain of narration, he will never die. In the last chain of narration, in the chain of narration of the last hadith, Ahmad ibn Ashqab, Muhammad ibn Fudail, Umara ibn Qaqa, Abu Zur'a, Abu Huraira. From amongst these names, how many do we know? How many are well known to us? Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is well known to us. Abu Zur'a rahimahullahu ta'ala is well known to us. But majority of us don't know who Umara ibn Qaqa is. Maybe this is the first time we have paid attention to this name, Umara ibn Qaqa. Majority of us don't know who Muhammad ibn Fudail is. Majority of us don't know who Ahmad ibn Ashqab is. But nobody can remove their names from Bukhari Sharif. Once a person becomes a part of a chain of narration, nobody can remove his name. This name will remain in the chain of narration until the day of Qiyamah. So Mamun al-Rashid said that this person who is teaching ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the most honorable from amongst the people, because نَحْنُ نَمُوتُ وَنَفْنَا, we will die, we will perish. Many of us will not leave our name behind. But these students who are studying ahadith, the teachers who are teaching ahadith, their names will remain in the chain of narration forever and ever, because the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will remain safeguarded with the chains of narration until the day of Qiyamah. My friends, my brothers, my respected sisters, mothers, daughters, let us instill in our hearts reverence, respect, honor and love for these madaris and for the ulama who have graduated from these madaris, the ulama who are teaching in these madaris and the students who are learning in these madaris. They are worthy of recognition. They are worthy of praise. They are worthy of honor. And if we honor anything associated to the ilm of Nubuwwah, we are not doing any favor to that thing. We are doing favor to ourselves. Because those people who honor ilm, the people of ilm, the places of ilm, things associated to ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them, their children, their progeny honor in this world and also in the hereafter. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala, Khalifa-i Rashid, a great alim also and a very pious personality, he said, "Inistata'ta fakun aliman." If you are able to, then become an alim. If you have the ability to become an alim, then become an alim. There is nothing better than becoming an alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses his beloved servants for the knowledge of Nubuwwah. Inistata'ta fakun aliman. If you are able to, become an alim. فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَتَي فَكُنْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. And if you are unable to become an alim, then become a student and remain a student. Remain a student. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith that when a person dies as a student of knowledge, talibul ilm, then between this talibul ilm and the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, there will be a difference of only one darja. If you are able to become an alim, if you are unable to become a muta'allim, and if you are unable to become even a muta'allim and a talibul ilm, فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَأَحْبِبْهُمْ. If you are unable to become an alim or a talibul ilm, then love the ulama and the talibin ilm. And he further says, فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِعْ. If you are so weak that you are unable to become an alim, you are unable to become a talibul ilm, and you are unable to even love them, if you are so weak, then the least you should do is فَلَا تُبْغِزُمْ. Do not entertain hatred for them. Because those people who entertain hatred for ulama, the whole group of ulama or a certain alim, there is fear of him losing iman before he departs from this world. Let us instill in our hearts love for these madaris. These are the forts that safeguards the ilmun nubuwwah, that safeguards the knowledge of Nubuwwah, that safeguards the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and its tafsir. If it was not for the madaris, we would not have been able to benefit from this deen. The deen has remained in its pristine purity because of these madaris. and do not look down upon the talaba and the ulama. That is the worst mistake you can commit. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the head and leader of this team, of this group. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, another great muhaddis. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that our teacher, who was the Sayyidu Ahlil Hadith in our time, who was the Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith in our time, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sa'luki, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he became very ill. We were all concerned and worried about him, because he was the pillar of Hadith in our time. He said, one day I went to sleep, and in my dream I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam with his eminent companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, going for iyadat towards the house of Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sa'luki rahimahullahu ta'ala. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I took this as a great opportunity that let me also go in the company of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for the iyadat of our teacher Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sa'luki rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is the Sayyidu Ahlil Hadith of our time. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, they entered the house of Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sa'luki rahimahullahu ta'ala, and I also entered. We all sat down. He said, while sitting in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thought entered my heart and mind that if this person dies, if this ustad of ours, if this teacher of ours, this Sayyidu Ahlil Hadith, if he was to pass away, if he was to depart, then maybe those who will be left behind may not be able to safeguard the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We entertain these thoughts regarding our akabir, that if my hazrat goes away, what will happen? If our Muhtamim Sahib goes away, what will happen? If my Shaykh departs, what will happen? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves his deen. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we cannot compare Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the service of safeguarding the deen from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. He utilized Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Umar radiyallahu anhu. And until today, the ulama of the ummah are safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is natural for a human to feel this way, that what will happen if Hazrat goes away? He was the pillar of Hadith, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sa'luki rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he said, this thought was bothering me inside, and in the dream I was sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked towards me and said, Ya Aba Nasr, O Abu Nasr, La tufakkir fi dhalik. He said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about my ahadith, that what will happen to my ahadith. What will happen to the ulama of hadith. What will happen to the talibin of hadith. Don't worry about this. La tufakkir fi dhalik. Inna Allah ta'ala la yudayyi'u isabatan ana sayyiduha. I am the leader of this group. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste that group which I am leading. The ulama will remain and inshallah reign until the day of Qiyamah, whether we like it or not. So it is best that we join this group, because this group on the day of Qiyamah will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The talaba who are studying ahadith in this Darul Uloom Azadville of ours, the girls who are studying ahadith in this girls madrasa of ours, and the boys and the girls, the students studying ahadith throughout the world, as long as they are sincere, as long as they try to maintain taqwa and adab as much as possible. And if they slip, they repent. So they hold on to taqwa and tawbah. The attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon them. The rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon them, and the attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon such people. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, another great personality in the field of hadith, he says that Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, another great muhaddis, during his student days he came to acquire hadith from me. He traveled from Sham, and I was in Naisabur. So he traveled from Sham and he came to Naisabur to acquire a hadith from me. I was senior at the time and he was junior. And he had so much hirs and greed for the ilm of hadith that in 3 days I became tired. The asatiza of those days, the muhaddisin, they were also very haris and very greedy to pass on the ilm of ahadith to as many students as possible. So a teacher of that caliber, Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala, says that he was so persistent that, please teach me, can I come back after Asr? Can I come back after Maghrib? Do you have time after Isha? In 3 days I got tired of him. And I became so tired that I took oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, by Allah, if this student comes to my house tomorrow and knocks at my door, I will not open the door. Imagine the hirs that Ibn Asakir rahmatullahi alayhi must have had for the ilm of hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in the hearts of the talibin ilmi nubuwwat thirst which is not quenched. They are always thirsty. And the occupation and the engagement of the ulama throughout generation has been, I want to take as much as possible from my seniors and pass down as much as possible to my juniors. Take as much as possible from the seniors and pass on as much as possible to the juniors. And they never became senior. They remained seniors and juniors throughout their lives. Nowadays, after we graduate, we become seniors. We have graduated now, so we are seniors. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his 70s, he was seen by somebody going somewhere with papers, ink pot, pen. He was acquiring ilm in his 70s. So when he was acquiring ilm in his 70s, that means he was senior and junior. For some he was a senior, for some he was a junior. So somebody said, Ila mata ibn Hanbal? O ibn Hanbal, for how long will you remain a junior? For how long will you remain a talibul ilm? So he said, Ma'al mihbarati ilal maqbarati. I will live my life with this ink pot and pen and papers until I reach the qabr. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that in 3 days I got sick and tired of him. After Fajr you start with him, he doesn't want to go. If you say we'll study afterwards, he says no, little bit more. And nowadays the students, they look at the clock 1 hour before the dispersing time. And if the teacher, out of affection for the student, was to take 5-10 minutes extra, it would be so burdensome for the students. Why? Because we haven't tasted the taste of ilm. Our akabir, our ulama, through whom this knowledge has reached us,
Import throughout until the last breath. Import.
Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, importing and imparting. Imam Waqi rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala became sick, so I went for his iyadah. I went to see him, I went to visit him. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you? And he said, after knowing his health immediately, he posed a question to me. And he said, in which state is Rami Afdal, more virtuous? Whilst standing on the ground or whilst riding a camel? And Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala is asking this question minutes before his departure. Imam Waqi rahimahullah ta'ala did not go to acquire ilm from him. That was not his intention was iyadat. But Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi felt compelled to teach his students something before he departs. Import. If I get the opportunity to import, I will. And if I get the opportunity to impart, I will. I will not waste a second. And they were not in Makkah Mukarrama during the season of Hajj. This question had nothing to do with the circumstances they were in. He said, in which condition it is more virtuous to pelt the Jamarat whilst on foot or whilst on the camel? So Imam Waqi rahimahullah ta'ala says that I thought for a moment and I said, whilst standing on the ground, it is more virtuous. Now look at the awareness of Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala in regard to ilm. He said, akhtata, incorrect. Your answer is not right. So he said, then there is only one more choice. It is more virtuous to pelt the Jamarat whilst riding the camel, whilst on the camel. So you go on the camel, remain on the camel and then pelt. He said, akhtata. He said, this is also wrong. Incorrect. And thereafter, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala explained in detail that every rami which is followed by another rami, it is more virtuous to do it while standing on the ground. So even the first day, on the 10th of Zulhijjah, when you pelt only the Jamaratul Aqaba, there is no rami after that rami. So it is more virtuous to pelt whilst riding the camel, whilst on the camel. On the second day when you go to the small shaitan, it is more virtuous while standing. When you go to the middle shaitan, it is more virtuous while standing because it is followed by another rami. And then when you come to Jamaratul Aqaba again, it is more virtuous while on the camel. He explained this in detail. Imam Waqi rahimahullah ta'ala thought it is against Adabul Muasharat to sit here and cause inconvenience to Hazrat because he will go into these intricate fiqhi issues. So he said, Hazrat, can I take leave? So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah here, he said, you may leave. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. He said, when I reached the door of the house from his room, Sameto Suraha Mautihi, the announcement of his death was made. Minutes, seconds before death, the zeal is, I want to import as much as I can before I leave. Despite having this zeal, my friends, Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahimahullah ta'ala says, I said, I will not open door for him because he is difficult customer. The following day, in the morning, somebody knocked at the door. So, through the window, I tried to find out who it is. It was somebody else, so I opened the door. It was a stranger. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. He said, Inni Rasoolu Rasoolillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilayka. This person said, I am a messenger to you from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream last night. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you wake up in the morning, imzi ila al-Farawi. Go to the great muhaddis Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Wa kullahu and say to him. Give him this message from me. قدم بلدك رجل شامي أسمر اللون. A young man has come to you from Sham. Message from Tawajjuh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the students of Ahadith. A young man has come to you from Sham. Asmarul Lawn, he is brown in complexion. Look at the Tawajjuh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is brown in complexion. And his only motive of coming to you is Yatlubu Hadithi. He has come to you in search of my hadith. So my instruction to you is فَلَا تَمَلَّ عَنْهُ. Do not become tired of him. Do not lose interest in him. The narrator of this incident, he says that after this incident, Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Farabi rahimahullahu ta'ala welcomed Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala. And when the students used to sit in the majlis of Abu Abdullah Al-Farabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he would say, you may go, you may leave, I will teach after Asr now. You may leave, I will teach you after Maghrib. But Ibn Asakir rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he used to come to acquire ahadith from Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Farabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, because of the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narrator of the incident says, فَكَانَ أَبُوْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ لَا يَقُومُ مِن مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى يَقُومَ إِبْنُ أَسَاكِرِ. In the case of Ibn Asakir, the teacher would not leave the gathering until the student used to say to him that, Hazrat, now we will resume the class after Asr Salat. He would not get up from his place until Ibn Asakir would not tell him to leave. The point that I'm trying to emphasize, my brothers, my sisters, is alhamdulillah, majority of you are associated to ilm, associated to akabir, mashayikh. But let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will always entertain good thoughts for the generations of ulama, from sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen until today and until the day of qiyamah. We will always love them. We will always love everything associated to ilm. And we will try our utmost to assist as much as possible. Financially, morally, spiritually, through prayers, supplication. And by doing this, we will not be doing any ihsan, any favor to the madaris or anything associated to ilm. We will be doing favor to ourselves and our children and our progeny. Bukhari Sharif is asahul kutub ba'da kitabillah, the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the last bab, last chapter of Bukhari Sharif. According to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullahu ta'ala, the last kitab in Bukhari Sharif is Al-I'tisamu bil-kitabi was-sunnah. According to majority of the Shariheen and the commentators of Bukhari Sharif, the last kitab is Ar-Raddu alal-Jahamiyyati wa ghayrihim. Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahamiyyati wa ghayrihim is the final kitab. The book is divided into many kitabs. Kitab al-Taharat, Kitab al-Salat, Kitab al-Sawm. So according to the majority of the Shariheen, the final kitab of Bukhari Sharif is Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahamiyyati wa ghayrihim. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is refuting certain ideologies of the deviated sect called Al-Jahamiyya. And Vaghairihim, with Jahamiyya he is also refuting certain ideologies of certain other deviated sects. It is the responsibility of the ulama to refute deviated ideologies of deviated sects. It is for this reason Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala ends his kitab with Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahamiyyati wa ghayrihim. And the majority of the Shari'in, they say that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with Kitabul Iman. As far as Babun kayfa kana badul wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, it is only an introduction. The actual kitab begins with Kitabul Iman. So the book begins with Kitabul Iman, and the majority of the shurra, they say the book begins with Kitabul Iman and it ends with refutation of the ideologies of misguided sects in regard to aqaid. So it ends with Kitabul Iman. So it begins with Kitabul Iman, it ends with Kitabul Iman. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating that a person can only become successful if after accepting Iman he can retain his Iman until the end. Then only he can become successful. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala says that Kitabur Raddi alal Jahmiyyati is not the final kitab. It is the tatimma of the final kitab, Kitabul I'tisam bil kitab wa sunnah. This is the final kitab, al I'tisam, to hold fast to the kitabullah and sunnati rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Shaykhul Hadith rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, after compiling Sahihul Bukhari, he is leaving the readers with this final message that I am reaching the completion of the book. Now in order to become successful in this world and the hereafter, your duty is to hold fast to Kitabullah and Sunnati Rasul. Only by reading Bukhari Sharif, only by studying Bukhari Sharif, you will not become successful. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظَ. Very important statement of Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala for our graduating girls and our students and the ulama. لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظَ. Ilm is not those words, those ibarat, those texts that you memorize. That is not ilm. لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظَ. Innamal ilmu ma nafa'a. Ilm is that text and that ibarat which benefits you in the hereafter. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala says, Laysal alimul ladhi ya'riful khayra wash-sharr. He is not an alim who is able to differentiate between khair and shar. This is khair, this is shar, this is good, this is bad. This is haq, this is batil, this is jaiz, this is not jaiz, this is halal, this is haram. He is not alim. These are only words, texts. This is information, not ilm. There is difference between information and ilm. This is only information. So who is an alim? He is not an alim who is able to differentiate between halal and haram, jaiz. Wa innamal alimul ladhi. Alim is he, alladhi ya'riful khayra fayattabi'uhu. Who recognizes khair, who understands lawful halal, fayattabi'uhu, and he follows that khair. Wa ya'rifu sharra fayajtanibu, and he recognizes shar and he abstains from that shar. So Allah Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is leaving this message for the readers, for the students, that you will only become successful in this world and the hereafter if you hold fast to Kitabullah and Sunnati Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Taraktu feekum ma in tamassattum bihi lan tadillu ba'di abada Kitabullahi wa Sunnati. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am leaving amongst you two things which if you hold fast to, you will never go astray. You will never become unsuccessful, neither in this world nor the hereafter. And those two things are Kitabullahi wa Sunnati. the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my sunnah. In this last bab, last chapter, what is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala discussing? What is his objective? What is his goal? What is his message? There are hundreds of abwab, hundreds of chapters in Bukhari Sharif. And very, very delicate and difficult to explain the goal and objective of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The ulama have said, fiqhul Bukhari fi tarajimihi. Fiqhul Bukhari fi tarajimihi. One meaning of this statement is that if one wishes to understand whether Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i or Hanbali, then he should pay attention to the tarajim of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And by paying attention to the tarajim of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he will be able to conclude whether he is Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i or Hanbali. And the other meaning is that if one desires to understand the status of the tafakkuh of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, then he should pay attention to the tarajim of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Very, very delicate, very difficult to understand what message Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is giving through the tarjamatul bab. So much so that Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, my dear friends, my ulama friends, my student friends, my daughters who are graduating today, hold fast to our akabir and the talimat of our akabir. The akabir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, I doubt very much if other people were or are fortunate enough to have acquired such akabir in the last 200-300 years. Very firm in their ilm, very firm in their amal and ittiba'i sunnah, and very firm in their connection and ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon the demise of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, this was the level of his ilm. Upon the demise of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah ta'ala in a gathering said that if I was to take oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I was to say, by Allah I have observed and I have witnessed and I have seen with my own eyes Allama Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, and if I was to say that by Allah I have seen Ibn Daqiq al-Eid with my own eyes, I would not be sinful in the eyes of Allah, because I have seen Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi says that till today, people have not been able to understand the tarajim of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in their true sense. And these are the words of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, jo kuch sharihin ne likha hai, wo takhminat hai. Whatever the shurrah are writing, it is only guesses. That it's possible that this is what he is trying to indicate. It's possible that this is what he is trying to indicate. Allama Ibn Khaldun rahimahullah ta'ala, in the muqaddama of his tariq, he says, Sameto kathiram min shuyukhina, I have heard from many of our mashayikh that they said, Sharhu hazal kitab daynun alal ummati. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has granted this ummah such an invaluable gift in the form of Bukhari Sharif that the ummah owes him a debt. They need to reciprocate him by giving him something. He has given the ummah invaluable gift in the form of Bukhari Sharif, so the whole ummah is indebted to him. And these mashayikh have said that the only way the ummah can repay Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is by doing the khidmah of Bukhari Sharif and writing a very nice sharah
compiling a very nice sharah. And until now, all these shuruhat that have been authored, they are not they are not fulfilling this right of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi upon the ummah. When Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala completed his Fathul Bari, one of his very close students, Hafiz Shamsuddin Sakhawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that the debt that was owed by the ummah to Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, our respected teacher, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, has repaid that debt. Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deubandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, after studying Fathul Bari, he concludes that Fathul Bari is a great sharah of Bukhari Sharif, a very great accomplishment and achievement. And no student of hadith can do without studying Fathul Bari. But Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala says that in dozens of places, in many places we find that when it comes to Tarjumatul Bab of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi falls short. He has not been able to understand the murad of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala as far as the Tarajim Abwab are concerned. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala says that Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala began explaining the Tarajim Abwab of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, but it so happened that he was unable to complete it and it was left incomplete and he passed away. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala was a very great personality. He was the legacy of Allama Nur Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. After studying the Tarajim, the explanation of the Tarajim Abwab by Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he concludes that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi the opportunity to complete the explanation of the Tarajim, he would have fulfilled the haq of the Tarajim of Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. This is the status of our Akabir in ilm and amal both. So the question in front of us is, what is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's goal is? What is his murad? What is he trying to tell the readers through this tarjamatul bab? Babun qawlullahi wa nadawul mawazin al-qista liyawm al-qiyamah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is using a part of the verse of the glorious Quran. Wa nadawul mawazin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will place Al-Mawazin. Mawazin is the plural of Mizan. And Mizan is the scale. So we will place, we will establish scales. Al-Qista, according to one opinion, Al-Qista is maf'ul lahu. So Lam is mahzuf. And here Al-Qista is mansub binazi al-khafiz. وَنَذَأُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ أَيْ وَنَذَأُ الْمَوَازِينَ لِلْقِسْتِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah Ma'ini رحمه الله تعالى says, Lam here is bimana fi. So وَنَذَأُ الْمَوَازِينَ لِلْقِسْتِ فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, we will place, we will establish scales. Scales. If we take the literal meaning, many scales. And if we take the metaphorical meaning, only one scale. But instead of using the singular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the plural. Instead of saying wanadawul mizan, he is saying wanadawul mawazin. And it is a metaphorical term to show the greatness of the mizan. That mizan will be so large that if you put thousands of mizan together, even then thousands of mizan will not be able to compete with that one mizan. Allama Abul Hasan Al-Lalkai rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates a hadith of Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, yudha'ul mizan, Mizan will be established. Scale will be established. Scale with two pans will be established. It will be erected. It will be placed on the day of Qiyamah to weigh the amal. Yudawul Mizan. Walahu kiffatan. It will have two pans. And the size of one pan is lavudiyat fi ihdahuma. As-samawatu wal-ardu wa man fihin. If the heavens and the earth and whatever they contain was to be placed in only one pan, lawasiyatuhu, even after placing everything in that pan, there would still remain room for other things to come. So because that mizan will be very great in size, to show the greatness of the mizan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of using the word singular, He has used the plural. وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ We will erect on the day of Qiyamah a great mizan, a very large mizan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ Are people jealous of other people? Are they jealous of people? أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ Are they jealous? Do they entertain hasad for people, annas, for people. Ala ma atahum Allahu min fadli, upon those favors and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them through His sheer fadl. One opinion of the commentators is that annas here refers to only one personality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one. And instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّبِيَّ Allah says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسِ For tafkhim shan. To show the greatness, that the good qualities that the whole of mankind possess, if they were put together, and if it was compared with the good qualities that were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the good qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would outweigh the good qualities of the entire humanity. So this is one explanation of this question, that why al-mawazin and not mizan? Wanadawul mawazin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place al-mawazin, the great scale. Lil-qisti, al-qista lil-qisti. For justice, for fairness. لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of Qiyamah. And after acquiring barakah from this verse of the glorious Quran, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَن The amal and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. What is the murad of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala? What is his objective? What is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi doing through this bab? The Shariheen say that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is refuting a batil ideology of Mu'tazila. And that ideology is that wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wazn, in the glorious Quran, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذِنِ الْحَقِّ Wazn, weighing of the amal. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions weighing, wazn, or wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-mizan, وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ Wazn and mizan are not in their literal meaning. They are not in their literal sense. That on the day of Qiyamah, literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erect a mizan, and literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the amal. This is the deviated ideology of the batil firqa Mu'tazila. Wazn and mizan has a metaphorical meaning. It does not have haqiqi mana, it has majazi mana. And when Allah says, wal wazn yawmaydin al-haq, weighing of the amal on the day of Qiyamah is haq, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show adl, justice and fairness. So each person will be brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amal will not be weighed because Allah already knows. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat each and every individual with justice and fairness. So wazna does not mean that Allah will weigh the amal. Allah will treat each and every person with justice and fairness. Wanadawul mawazin, we will erect the mizan. We will put the mizan. We will bring forth the mizan on the day of Qiyamah. It does not mean that there will be a practical mizan there, no. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat each and every person with adl, with justice, with fairness. This is the deviated ideology of Mu'tazila and a group of Jahmiya also. Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahmiyyati waghairihim. Allama Zaid al-Kawthari rahimahullahu ta'ala, answering this objection that Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala in this book should be refuting the batil ideologies of the Jahmiya, not Mu'tazila. So the Sharihin say no, Imam Bukhari says Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahmiyyati waghairihim, and in waghairihim he has included Mu'tazila. But Allama Zaid al-Kawthari rahimahullah ta'ala says no, there is a group of Jahmiya also who believe this. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is refuting this claim of the Mu'tazila and the group of Jahmiya who claim that wazn is not in its literal sense, that amal will be weighed. And wanadawul mawazin is not in its literal sense that the mizan will be erected. It is a metaphorical meaning here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with each and every person with adl, with fairness and with justice. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is refuting this claim of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, and he is establishing the correct ideology of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who believe that on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will literally place the mizan, which will have two pans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the amal. Allah will weigh the amal, and after weighing the amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faman thaqulat wal wazna yawma idhin al haq faman thaqulat mawazinuhu fa ulaika humul muflihun. If the pan containing the hasanat will become heavy, then that person will go in Jannah. He will become successful forever and ever. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. And if the pan containing hasanat will become light, and the pan containing the sayyat will become heavy, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. These people will become losers. بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا بِمَا كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. Because they were wrongdoers, and due to their wrongdoings, they will become losers on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hakim, Imam Bayhaqi rahimahumallahu ta'ala narrates from Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha that she said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah there will be three occasions where each and every person will lose his senses. He will not be able to pay attention to anything, only towards one thing. From amongst these three occasions, one occasion is when he will be brought in front of the mizan and his amal will be weighed. Allama Abul Hasan Al-Lalkai rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates from Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah each person will be brought in front of the mizan and his amal will be weighed. If the pan containing the good amal will become heavy, an appointed angel will make announcement which all the inhabitants of the mahshar will be able to hear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all hear this announcement on the day of Qiyamah. He will make the announcement that so and so, the son of so and so, his pan on the scale of hasanat has become heavy, and he is being granted the glad tidings of a success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will never end. And if the pan containing the sayyi'at becomes heavy, may Allah grant us all refuge, then this angel will make this announcement which all the people of Mahshar will hear, that this person, the son so and so, the son of so and so, his book of sayyi'at has become heavy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is depriving him of success which he will never acquire now. He will be doomed forever and ever. So the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that these ayat which contain the word wazn or which contain the word mizan or mawazin, they are in their literal senses. Now the question that will arise in the minds of many is that why did the Mu'tazila or the Jahmiyyah opted for this other opinion? This is the answer to this question is very important, so that we are also saved from going astray. The reason for their misunderstanding such verses is that they had made akl the criteria of truth and falsehood. Akl, what the akl understands is truth, and what the akl does not understand is falsehood. So when pondering over these verses that amal will be weighed, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila thought that amal is arz and not jauhar. Jauhar, tangible item, and arz, intangible. Tangible, jauhar, tangible. Jauhar is that item which can be perceived by the five senses. And arz, intangible. Arz is that item which cannot be perceived by the five senses. Now when we perform qiyam, when we are performing salat qiyam, the qiyam will remain as long as we are standing. When we go in ruku, this qiyam has become intangible. It can now not be perceived by the five senses. The ruku is there, it is tangible, it is in, for as long as we remain in ruku. As soon as we say Sami Allahu liman hamida, ruku has become intangible. When we say Subhanallah, 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 as soon as we finish saying Subhanallah, if we want to weigh Subhanallah, where can we find Subhanallah? So when they pondered over these verses that amal will be weighed, amal will be weighed, amal will be weighed, using the faculty of intellect, they could not comprehend how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the amal. Majority of the deviated sects deviated because of using their akla more than they should have used. May Allah safeguard all of us. There are three sources of ilm. First source is the five senses. There are certain things which we perceive with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongue, with our nose, and with our hands and feet by touching. Five senses. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah is He who has created you from the wombs of your mothers. And when you came in, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. When you came into this world, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You had no ilm whatsoever. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. From the five senses, the most that we use is the eyes and the ears. So Allah mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for you the sense of hearing and the sense of seeing. And it is through the sense of hearing and sense of seeing you began acquiring ilm. This is the first source of ilm, the five senses. Thereafter, the second source of ilm is aql. Aql, if used within limits, is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through this aql we ponder upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize the creator. This is how great ni'mat the aql is. So through aql also we acquire ilm. And the third source of ilm is wahy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals upon the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam knowledge, information. And the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam passed this knowledge to the Ummats. These are the three sources. Now, what the Akla is able to comprehend and perceive, the five senses cannot perceive. They all have their limitations. What five senses, what the Akla can perceive and what the Akla can comprehend, the five senses cannot perceive. For example, the Akla will say that there is oxygen in this room. But the five senses cannot perceive that oxygen. But the Akla can. Because it is the belief of every human that without oxygen, a human cannot survive. And we are all alive. That means oxygen is definitely there. Now if a person says that I do not believe that oxygen exists in this room because I cannot perceive oxygen with my five senses, what will people say about him? Five senses cannot perceive what the Akla is able to perceive. Similarly, Akla cannot perceive what the Wahya can perceive. So just as we accept the limitations of the ability of the five senses, we also need to accept the ability and the boundary of what the Akla is able to perceive. This the Mu'tazila could not do. This the Jahmiya could not do. This the Jabariya could not do. This the Qadariya could not do. And this the modernists of our era cannot do. The modernists of our era, they belong to the same group. The names change. Mu'tazila, Jahmiya, Jabariya, but the ideologies remain and they will remain until the day of Qiyamah. So because they could not perceive that Amal is intangible, how will Amal be put in the scale and how will they? They forgot the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya existed in our modern times, they would have accepted the ideology and the maslak of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because in this day and age, intangible items are also measured. Heat is measured, cold is measured. So this objection does not remain anymore. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, through this Tarjamatul Bab, is refuting this misguiding ideology of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. And he says, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزًا. The Amal and the Aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Because the time is short, I wish to spend a few minutes on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can derive some barakat. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has narrated this hadith in three places in Bukhari Sharif. In Kitab al-Da'awat, in Kitab al-Aymane wal-Nuzur, and here in Kitab al-Radd al-Jahmiyya. And he narrates this hadith from three different asatiza. In one place he narrates the hadith from Zuhair ibn Harb. In another place he narrates the hadith from Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. And here he narrates this hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashqab. He could have narrated the hadith of Qutaybah ibn Sa'id here and Ahmad ibn Ashqab there. He could have narrated the hadith of Zuhair ibn Harb here and Ahmad ibn Ashqab there. But Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is very, very intelligent. It was his desire to end the kitab with his teacher Ahmad ibn Ashqab's narration, not Zuhair ibn Harb or Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. And the reason for that is he begins his Sahih with the narration of his teacher Imam Humaydi. And he ends his book with the narration of his Ustad and Sheikh Ahmad. Humaydi is derived from Hamd, and Ahmad is also derived from Hamd. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala by narrating the first hadith from Humaydi and narrating the last hadith from Ahmad is gesturing, is indicating that whatever this kitab contains is nothing but Mahmood and praiseworthy. He is also indicating وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ, that is, person should spend his life in such a way that he begins with hamd and he continues his life with hamd, hamd, alhamdulillah, 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 ta'alluq with Allah. And he should end his life with alhamdulillah also, so that he can be resurrected on the day of qiyamah in the ummah who will be named Hammadun, who will be led into Jannah by the greatest of the Rusul and Anbiya, whose name is Ahmad and Muhammad, and who will be carrying the flag of Liwaul Hamd. And after the whole group entering Jannah, they will all together say, Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. He is also indicating, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that those people who will study this book very carefully and who will try to implement each and every teaching that is contained within this book to the best of their ability, they will also become Mahmood and praiseworthy in this world and also in the hereafter. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiates his book with Innamal Amalu Bin Niyat, Ikhlas. And thereafter, he brings ahadith which refer to ibadat, which refer to aqaid, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat and husn akhlaq. And he concludes the book with one of the ul mawazin, amal will be weighed. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is leaving this message for all of us, that those people who desire to see the pan on the day of Qiyamah, the pan of the scale containing good amal heavy, then they should hold fast to two things. One is ikhlas, innamal amalu bin niyyat. And secondly, ittiba'i sunnat, the ahadith that I have mentioned in this book. If a person was to hold fast to ikhlas and ittiba'i sunnat, then the pan containing the hasanat will become very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with a hadith, the chain of which is gharib. Gharib. Gharib is that chain where there is only one rawi narrating the hadith in the whole generation and tabaqa. Hadith innamal amalu bin niyat is narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu only. Thereafter, his students, he is the only one in that generation. Thereafter, his student, he is the only one in his generation. It is, hadith is gharib. This hadith is also gharib. This hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira, only Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. No other sahabi narrates this hadith. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is indicating, Bada al-Islamu ghariban, wasayyaudu ghariba. Bada al-Islamu ghariban. Islam, in its initial stages, was stranger to the people. Haq is always strange in the initial stages. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates Haq, and then thereafter again the people of Haq begin to decrease until those people who follow the Haq strictly are seen as strange people, extreme people. Very extreme, very narrow, very narrow minded. Bada al-Islam ghariban wa sayyaudu ghariba. Fatuba lil-ghuraba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good fortune is for those people who are part of this group of ghuraba. My friends, remain firm against all challenges. Don't become victims of inferiority complex. Hold fast to Kitabullah, hold fast to Sunnati Rasul, hold fast to the path of the Akabir. Ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala says, Man istanna minkum falyastanna biman mata qablahu. If one of you wishes to follow the path of somebody, then follow the path of that person who has passed away successfully and has gone to Jannah. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةُ. Because the one who is still alive and whose path looks very attractive to us, very lucrative to us, it is possible that after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, we come to this conclusion that he has misled the whole ummah. He has deviated from the right path. Shaykh Shibli rahimahullahu ta'ala was once persecuted by people. Narrow-minded, this, that. With lot of grief, one day he left the home, he left the locality. And he went out in the jungle, in the orchard. And he sat leaning against a trunk of the tree trunk, the trunk of a date palm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that this gharib is on his own. He needs consoling. Let me console him. So it was his karamat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the date palm tree the ability to talk. So what did the date palm say? The date palm say, Ya Shibli, kun misli. O Shibli, become like me. O Shibli, become like me. So what is your description? Innahum yarmunani bil ahjar wa ana armihim bil asmar. They throw stones at me and I throw fruits at them. This should be the path of the ghuraba. Against all challenges we remain patient, we remain steadfast on our path. If people throw stones at us, we throw fruits of akhlaq and good morals towards them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the hearts of the people, and if not, then inshallah Allah will reward us in abundance in the hereafter. Now coming on to the hadith, I will just mention one thing regarding the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kalimatane, there are two sentences. Here kalimatun is bimana kalam. Kalimatane, there are two sentences. Habibatani ila Rahman, they are mahbub to Rahman ta'ala. Kalimatani, two sentences, they are mahbub to Rahman ta'ala. Khafifatani ala lisan, not very heavy on the tongue, very light on the tongue, very easy to say, very easy to utter, not difficult at all, even from the makharij point of view. خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان heavy in the scale. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, by introducing this hadith under this chapter, is refuting the claim of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya that amal will not be weighed. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying these two sentences will be heavy in the mizan? Because they will be weighed. ثقيلتان في الميزان. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. This is the final discussion on this hadith. That last, then I will conclude my talk. Kalimatane habibatane ilar rahman. There are two sentences, beloved to Rahman ta'ala. The indication is that if these two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, the one who will hold fast to its wird and zikr, he will also become mahbub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make a firm resolution that at least minimum daily, we will read this tasbih 100 times from today. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Two sentences mahbub to Rahman ta'ala. Now, as soon as a person reads this, the thought will enter his mind that if something is mahbub to Allah and it is something that will make me mahbub in the eyes of Allah also, then it must be very, very difficult to utter. So make it easy for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is answering this thought of ours. No, don't worry. Khafifatani ala lisan. Very easy and very light on the tongue. Then the question would arise in our hearts and minds that if it is very light on the tongue, then it must be very light in the scale also. Because al-ataya ala qadril balaya. What we are given in the hereafter is according to our mujahada. So if there is no mujahada, it's very easy. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. So it will not be very weighty in the mizan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it will be very heavy. Saqilatani fil mizan. And what are these two words? What are these two sentences? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. The question that arises here is that subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, two very small sentences, what do they contain that they will be very, very heavy in the mizan? This is the question I would like to answer and then conclude. The answer is, these two sentences contain the maqamate uluhiyat, the stages of divinity. There are four stages of divinity. And these four stages of divinity are specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. First stage is maqam-e-tanzih. Second stage is maqam-e-tanweeh. Third stage is maqam-e-tamjeed. And the fourth stage is maqam-e-tawheed. I will try my best to explain these four maqamat very briefly. The first stage is maqam-e-tanzih, specific to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maqam-e-tanzih. Maqam-e-tanzih means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from every fault, every shortcoming and every deficiency. This is the first stage of divinity. The second stage of divinity, second stage of uluhiyat, maqam-e-tanweeh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fountain of all virtues, all good qualities, all excellences, all kamalat. So maqam-e-tanzih is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from every fault, every shortcoming, every deficiency. But if I was to say that my father is not stingy, he's not stingy at all. My father is not stingy at all. This is tanzih. With tanzih, a person's praise is not complete. He is not stingy, but is he generous or not? So after tanzih, you need tanweeh. That my father is not stingy at all, but he is the most generous in Azadwil. Very, very generous my father is. So after tanzih, you need tanweeh. Very pure and very generous. So very pure, no fault, no deficiency. Every quality is found in him. Only specific to Allah. So every quality is found in every good quality. After that, maqam-e-tamjeed. That he is the greatest. He is the greatest. First is that he is pure from all the faults. Then we move on. Number two, he has all the excellencies. Then we move. Third stage, that he is the greatest. Maqam-e-tamjeed. When a person realizes that this person is pure from every fault, every deficiency, and he has all the excellencies, and he is the greatest, then without any hesitation, the heart will call out, and the tongue will express what the heart is saying, and he will say, La ilaha illallah. He has to be La ilaha illallah. Because he is pure from every fault, he is full of all excellencies, and he is the greatest. So, once maqam-e-tanzih, maqam-e-tanweeh, and maqam-e-tamjeed is established, maqam-e-tawheed is automatically established. For maqam-e-tanzih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us tasbih. Sabbaha lillah, yusabbihu lillah, sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la alladhi tasbih. For maqam-e-tanweeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us tahmeed. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. And for maqam-e-tamjeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us takbir. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And for maqam-e-tawheed, to express maqam-e-tawheed, when we reach the final conclusion and we wish to express maqam-e-tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us tahleel. لا إله إلا الله. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا الله. These two sentences contain all the first three maqamat.
Subhanallah maqam tanzih. Wabihamdihi. There are various opinions of the Shariheen in regard to the waw in wabihamdihi. If we take the opinion of waw istinafiyah, then Subhanallah, usabbihullah anin naqais kullihi wa usni alayhi bihamdihi. So Subhanallah is tanzih, wa bihamdihi is tanweeh, Subhanallah al-azim, great, is tamjeed. So in these two sentences there is maqam tanzih, maqam tanweeh and maqam tahmeed, maqam tamjeed. And as soon as we come across the three maqamat, automatically our hearts will say, La ilaha illallah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is completing his Sahihul Bukhari on Kalimai Tawheed. And gesturing, Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhal al Jannah. One whose final word is La ilaha illallah, he will enter Jannah. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is encouraging us to learn Kitabullah, Sunnat Rasul and practice, so that at the end of our lives, just like at the end of this book, we are completing the book with La ilaha illallah, we will complete our book of life with La ilaha illallah also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to acquire as much ilm as possible. I would urge my daughters to continue acquiring ilm. Our mashaykh, our ulama have always taught us that it is when you graduate from the madrasa, you become a true talibul ilm. So you are not graduating today. Your talabe ilm is beginning today. And always remain under the supervision of your teachers, of the great ulama around you, and associate yourself to a sheikh from Mashayikh Haqqa. By studying under the supervision of the ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the words and the huruf and nukush of ilm. And by staying under the supervision of a sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your nur of ilm. And when huruf and nukush and nur, when they both join together, that is when you become the waris of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us the barakat of Bukhari Sharif, of this hadith. May Allah grant us the barakat of this pious gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakat of the pious mashayikh that are here. Alhamdulillah, you people in South Africa are very, very fortunate that you have big madaris, very well organized madaris with qualified mahir teachers in every science. And mashallah, you have mashayikh, you have experts in the zahiri ulum, you have experts in the batini ulum. I urge all of you to benefit from these both groups. Those who possess zahiri ulum, those who possess batini ulum. There are some who are majmool bahrain, they possess zahiri ulum and batini ulum, majority of them. Benefit from them. Because if we don't, we will be the losers in this world and the hereafter. And it is possible that we are questioned on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا
أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترك اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم بارك لنا فيما آتيتنا
وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا اللهم بارك لهم فيما رزقتهم واغفر لهم وارحمهم اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين الصالحين والصالحات وكما ألفت بين الطيبين والطيبات اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما عفو و عافیت کا معاملہ فرما فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہم گنہگار ہیں ہم خطا کار ہیں ہمارے جسم کا رواں رواں تیرا نافرمان ہے بال بال تیرا نافرمان ہے الہ العالمین ہمارے جسم کا وہ کون سا عضو ہوگا جس نے تیری نافرمانی نہیں کی ہوگی اے ارحم الراحمین معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے ہم تیرے در کے بھکاری ہیں ہم تیرے رحم و کرم کے متلاشی ہیں الہ العالمین نظر کرم فرما نظر کرم فرما نظر کرم فرما نظر کرم فرما خدا کی قسم نہ اٹھ سکے گا قیامت تک جسے تو نے اپنی نظروں سے گرا کے چھوڑ دیا اے رب الرحیمین اے رب الرحیمین ہمیں محروم نہ فرما ہمیں محروم نہ فرما اے اللہ تو کریم ہے اور کریم اسی کو کہتے ہیں جو بغیر استحقاق کے دیتا ہے الہ العالمین ہم غیر مستحق ہیں الہ العالمین ہم اقراری مجرم ہیں الہ العالمین ہم گناہوں میں ڈوبے ہوئے ہیں الہ العالمین سیاہیوں میں لطپت ہے الہ العالمین ہمارے ہاتھ اتنے گندے ہیں وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے در پہ پھیلائے جائے الہ العالمین آنکھوں سے بہنے والے آنسو بھی اتنے گندے ہیں وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے دربار میں پیش کیے جائے الہ العالمین تیری نافرمانی میں ہماری زبانیں اتنی آلودہ ہو چکی ہے وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تجھ سے کچھ عرض و معروض کر سکے الہ العالمین ہمارا جسم سراپا گندا وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ اسے تیرے گھر میں آنے کی اجازت دی جائے الہ العالمین لیکن ہم جائیں تو کہاں جائیں تو ہی ہمارا ماوا ہے تو ہی ہمارا ملجا ہے الہ العالمین تو ہی ہماری جائے پناہ ہے الہ العالمین بہت امیدیں لے کر ہم سب تیرے دربار میں اس وقت ہاتھ پھیلائے بیٹھے ہیں الہ العالمین ہمارے پاس ندامت کے سوا تیری بارگاہ میں پیش کرنے کے لیے کچھ نہیں ہے یہ اللہ بلکہ یہ کہیں تو صحیح ہے کہ ہماری تو ندامت بھی جھوٹی ہے الہ العالمین تیری بارگاہ میں پیش کرنے کے لیے کوئی چیز نہیں ہے الہ العالمین الہ العالمین بس تیرے رحم و کرم کے محتاج ہے تیری توجہ کے محتاج ہے تیری نظر کرم کے محتاج ہے الہ العالمین الہ العالمین تجھے امام بخاری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ بہت محبوب تھے وہ تیرے برگزیدہ بندے تھے اولیاء کاملین میں سے تھے الہ العالمین اسی لیے تو نے ان کی کتاب صحیح البخاری کو مقبول کیا اور الہ العالمین ہمارے مشائخ اکابر بزرگوں کا تجربہ ہے کہ ختم بخاری پر جو دعائیں کی جاتی ہیں وہ قبول ہوتی ہیں الہ العالمین دور دور سے دوست احباب ماں بہنیں سب الہ العالمین اسی گھر سے حاضر ہوئے ہیں کہ آج ہمارا رب ختم بخاری کی برکت سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف کرے گا ہمیں اپنے اولیاء میں شامل کرے گا الہ العالمین الہ العالمین ہماری امیدیں پوری فرما ہماری امیدیں پوری فرما ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما الہ العالمین ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما ہمیں محروم القسمت نہ بنا الہ العالمین ہمیں محروم القسمت نہ بنا الہ العالمین ہمیں محروم القسمت نہ بنا الہ العالمین آج الہ العالمین ولایت خاصہ کے فیصلے فرما دے ہم میں سے ہر ایک کو ہمارے متعلقین کو قیامت تک ہماری نسلوں کو اولیاء میں شامل فرما دے الہ العالمین متقی بندوں میں شامل فرما دے الہ العالمین تیرے دین کو سیکھنے والے سمجھنے والوں میں شامل فرما دے اس پر عمل کرنے والوں میں شامل فرما دے امت کے لیے تڑپنے والوں میں شامل فرما دے الہ العالمین پورے عالم میں ہدایت کو علم کو عام کرنے والوں میں شامل فرما دے الہ العالمین الہ العالمین الہ العالمین تو اگر ہماری اس التجا کو قبول کر لے گا تجھے پوچھنے والا کوئی نہیں مگر ہم مسکینوں کا غریبوں کا الہ العالمین سب کچھ بن جائے گا الہ العالمین الہ
العالمین رحم کا معاملہ فرما, کرم کا معاملہ فرما, رحم کا معاملہ فرما, کرم کا معاملہ فرما, رحم کا معاملہ فرما, کرم کا معاملہ فرما. یا رب الرحیمین, آج جن بچیوں نے بخاری شریف ختم کیا ہے ان العالمین ان بچیوں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما, انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, انہیں ام المؤمنین کے نقش قدم پر چلا دے, صحابیات کے نقش قدم پر چلا دے, الہ العالمین صالحات کے نقش قدم پر چلا دے, الہ العالمین انہیں امت کی اچھی مائیں بنا دے, امت کی اچھی بیٹیاں بنا دے, الہ العالمین امت کی ماں اور بیٹیوں کے لیے رہنمائی کا ذریعہ بنا دے, الہ العالمین ان بچیوں کی حفاظت فرما, ان کے علوم میں برکت عطا فرما, ان کے عمل میں برکت عطا فرما, الہ العالمین ان بچیوں کو ان کے ماں باپ کے لیے, ان کے اساتذہ کے لیے, ان کے پیچھے محنت کرنے والوں کے لیے, ہم سب کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے, آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے, الہ العالمین ان کے اساتذہ ان کی استادیوں کو قبول فرما, الہ العالمین ان کی استادیوں کو قبول فرما, جس مدرسے میں یہ پڑھ رہی ہے الہ العالمین وہاں کی استادیوں کو, وہاں کی طالبات کو, وہاں کی منتظمین کو, مولانا عبداللہ حفیظی صاحب کو, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو قبول فرما, جن جن حضرات نے اس مدرسے میں اب تک تعاون کیا ہے, جو مستقبل میں جس لائن کا بھی تعاون کریں گے, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو قبول فرما, الہ العالمین سب کو قبول فرما, ان کی برکت سے ہمیں بھی قبول فرما, ہمیں بھی قبول فرما, ہمیں بھی قبول فرما, الہ العالمین آزاد ہلکے دارالعلوم کو بھی قبول فرما, الہ العالمین یہاں کے طلبا کو بھی قبول فرما, الہ العالمین یہاں کے اساتذہ کو بھی قبول فرما, الہ العالمین حضرت محتمیم صاحب کو بھی قبول فرما, ان کی صحت میں برکت عطا فرما, انہیں صحت کاملہ نصیب فرما, انہیں صحت کاملہ نصیب فرما, ان کا ٹھنڈا میٹھا سایہ تادیر امت پر قائم فرما, ان کے فیض کو بہت عام فرما, الہ العالمین ان کی جو جو نیک تمنائیں ہیں دین کے بارے میں, امت کے بارے میں, مدرسے کے بارے میں, انہیں پوری فرما, الہ العالمین یہاں اس مدرسے میں دوسرے جو علماء ہیں, مشائخ ہیں, اکابر ہیں, ان سب کی عمروں میں بھی برکت پیدا فرما, صحتوں میں برکت پیدا فرما, علوم میں خلوص میں برکت پیدا فرما, الہ العالمین یہاں سے فارغ ہونے والے ایک ایک فاضل کو امت کے لیے تائید کی حیثیت عطا فرما, الہ العالمین انہیں ہم سب کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنا, امت کی باغ ڈور کو سنبھالنے والا بنا, یا رب الرحیمین آج کے اس نکاح میں بھی خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرما, دلہا دلہن کو محبت عطا فرما, مودت عطا فرما, الفت عطا فرما, انس عطا فرما, اتفاق اور اتحاد اور دینداری والی زندگی عطا فرما, انہیں ان کی ہونے والی اولاد کو متقین میں شامل فرما, دونوں خاندانوں کے لیے محبت کا ذریعہ بنا, دونوں خاندانوں کے لیے نجات کا ذریعہ بنا, صدقہ جاریہ بنا. آپ کے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اپنی حیات طیبہ میں دلہا دلہن کے لیے جو جو دعائیں فرمائی ہوں گی وہ ان کے حق میں قبول فرما, الہ العالمین مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما, مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما, مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما, الہ العالمین غیر مسلم بھی تیرے ہی بندے ہیں, الہ العالمین انہیں بھی جہنم سے نجات عطا فرما, انہیں بھی جہنم سے نجات عطا فرما, الہ العالمین ہدایت کے عام ہونے کے اسباب پیدا فرما, علم کے عام ہونے کے اسباب پیدا فرما, علم علماء مدارس سے ہمیں محبت عطا فرما, مشائخ حقہ کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما, پوری دنیا میں دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں الہ العالمین سب کو قبول فرما, جماعتوں کو, جمعیتوں کو قبول فرما, مدارس کو, خانقاہوں کو قبول فرما, الہ العالمین مساجد کو قبول فرما, الہ العالمین مقامات مقدسہ اور الہ العالمین مقابر مسلمین کی حفاظت فرما, یا ارحم الراحمین, یا ارحم الراحمین امن کو, رحمت کو, برکت کو عام فرما, الہ العالمین ظلم کا خاتمہ فرما, امن کے عام ہونے کے لیے, ظلم کے خاتمے کے لیے جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما, یا ارحم الراحمین ہمارے سفر کو بھی قبول فرما, اس سفر کو ہماری مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا, الہ العالمین مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا, ولایت کا ذریعہ بنا, تیرے قرب کا ذریعہ بنا, الہ العالمین سعود افریقہ میں جو خیرات ہیں, جو برکات ہیں, اس سے مستفید فرما, اس سے متمتع فرما, ان خیرات اور برکات کے ساتھ واپس لوٹا, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, یہاں کے علماء نے, یہاں کے مشائخ نے ہمارے استحقاق سے زیادہ ہم پر شفقت فرمائی ہے, الہ العالمین یہاں کے بھائیوں نے, بہنوں نے ہمارے استحقاق سے زیادہ محبت دی ہے, الہ العالمین ان سب کو بدلے میں اپنی محبت عطا فرما الہ العالمین, ہمیں ہماری اس محبت کو صرف تیری رضا کے لیے باقی اور قائم و دائم فرما, اس محبت کو تیرے عرش کے سائے کے نیچے جگہ کے ملنے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین. جنت الفردوس میں بھی ہم سب کو انبیاء صدیقین شہداء صالحین کے ساتھ معیت نصیب فرما, یا ارحم الراحمین حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما. جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہے, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں, محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, اساتذہ, مشائخ, دوست احباب, حاضرین مجلس, شرکاء مجلس, سبھی کے تمام جائز مقاصد کو پورا فرما, جو بیمار ہیں انہیں شفا عطا فرما, جن کا آپریشن ہو رہے ہیں آپریشن میں عافیت کے ساتھ کامیابی عطا فرما, جو آخری مرحلے پر ہیں انہیں اس کے خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما, یا ارحم الراحمین مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما, بالخصوص ہمارے قاری اسماعیل صاحب رحمہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے درجات کو بلند فرما, الہ العالمین ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما, انہیں ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, آپ کے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جن بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی تھی وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما, جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما, جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما, محض اپنے لطف و کرم سے, اپنے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے توفیل سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما, آج کی اس جلسے کو بھی اپنی بارگاہ میں قبولیت عطا فرما, اسے ہم سب کی مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم, رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين, سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.